Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 23 of Aprender Inglés con Resi y Craig, episodio 23. Hi, Craig, how's it going?
Hi, Reza, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you.
What's new?
Well, we've got some interesting feedback. You want to hear it?
Yes, please. I'm all ears.
You're all ears.
Soy todo orejas.
Well, as far as I know, this is the first bit of feedback we've got from someone from Honduras. Is that
really?
Right?
Honduras?
Yes.
Qué bonito.
She's hondureña. Mm-hmm. That's Thelma Cabrera.
Hello, Thelma.
I'll read out what she says, okay?
Okay.
Forgive my bad Spanish pronunciation, listeners, but you understand me, more or less.
Give you.
Hola, me encanta escucharlos. Su metodología de enseñanza es muy buena para mí. Soy hondureña y hace mucho deseaba escuchar un programa como este. Yo les doy 5 estrellas. Gracias.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks very much. Estoy aprendiendo muchas cosas con ustedes. Les comento que he visitado Belfast, Dublín y Maynooth. Oh, you've been to Ireland. Me gustó mucho sus moradores. Son personas gentiles. Oh, thanks very much, Thelma. Visité varios lugares, incluyendo los pubs. Yes, you have to visit the pubs if you go to Ireland.
I bet she's had some Guinness.
Oh, you have to. And she ends, gracias por todo lo que comparten y abrazos para ambos.
Ah, oh, it's lovely.
Gracias, Thelma. Y un abrazo para ti. Thanks very much.
What are moradores?
I had to look it up, Craig. I wasn't familiar with that word.
I've never heard that before.
Me neither. I think Spanish people don't use it. Maybe it's more typical in Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it means inhabitants or locals.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where's Maynooth? I've heard of Dublin and Belfast. I've never heard of Maynooth. Is that near you in Belfast?
It's quite near Dublin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, nowhere is too far away from anywhere in Ireland. Dublin is exactly 100 miles from Belfast, which isn't very far at all.
No. Okay, let's look at some grammatica and modal verbs. If you remember, you may remember that Reza and I spoke about the modal verbs can and can't in episode 7. If you haven't heard that and you're interested in knowing and learning about can and can't, go to inglespodcast.com and listen to episode 7. But this episode, I thought we could do a short introduction to modal verbs in general. What do you think, Reza?
Yeah, good idea. They always need plenty of revision.
Yeah, modal verbs are tricky. They're quite difficult in English.
Yeah.
Modal auxiliary verbs. So let's first look at the modal verbs and what they translate to in Spanish. Can and could.
Poder.
Poder. And sometimes saber, because you could say I can swim. I think maybe in Spanish you'd say puedo nadar.
O yo sepo nadar,
O sé nadar.
That's so true. Yeah.
I can speak Spanish, sé hablar español. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can and could sometimes are interchangeable, right? It doesn't really matter, for example. Can you help me? Could you help me?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
May and might, poder.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say may and might have different translations or none at all. For example,
may I help you?
Exactly, may help. Puedo ayudarte. Mm. But didn't we also say that we can say can I help you? Mm-hmm. Puedo ayudarte.
Yes.
So may can mean the same as can. In fact,
absolutely. Will and would, querer, shall and should.
Oh, hold on. What do you mean? Will and would querer.
That's what I thought it translated to.
Can you give us an example sentence?
Would you like a biscuit?
Yeah, if you say would like, but what if I say to you, would you eat that old piece of bread?
That's the conditional would.
Ah, I see. Okay.
See, it's sometimes we can't translate exactly to Spanish. So what I thought we could do in future episodes is examine each modal verb or each pair of modal verbs in detail.
Okay.
So maybe today just look in general. So these are general translations, listeners, and as Reza just pointed out, we can have different meanings and different uses and different functions for these modal verbs. So will and would sometimes translates to querer, and shall and should deber. And you probably know that must can also translate to deber, and ought to, which isn't such a common modal verb, but it's used sometimes, deber also. Now, need and dare. Dare maybe not so common. Dare in Spanish is atraverse. How dare you? How dare you take the last biscuit? How dare you say that to me? And need, tener que.
So, couldn't need also commonly be necesitar?
Also.
It's a very common translation as well. You need to drink more. Necesitas beber más.
Absolutely.
I mean agua, listeners,
not Guinness. Okay, so let's look at some of the characteristics of modal verbs. And one of them is no añaden la S en la tercera persona de singular del presente. So she must know his telephone number. Ella debe saber su número de teléfono. You would not say she must know. That's wrong. So no S on the third person of modal verbs.
What about when you ask questions with modals, Craig? Is it, do we add do, for example, do you can swim? Is that right?
Oh, no. That's a big no-no. Do you can swim? No. Did you must? No, absolutely not.
Will you could? No.
No.
So what do we do then?
With questions, you would just use the modal verb at the beginning of the clause. So, ¿puedes hablar español? Can you speak Spanish?
Yes, I can.
The negative, la negación, we make with just adding the word not, and at the end of not. So, I can go on Friday. ¿Puedo ir el viernes? I cannot go on Friday. No puedo ir el viernes.
Cannot, or the contraction, can't.
Can't, yeah. Have we spoken about the difference between identifying the negative and positive can and can't?
We have, but let's remind the listeners about the stress, yeah?
Shall we have... Do you teach it with stress? How do you teach it? Tell us how you teach it.
I say that I can cook Spanish food, but I can't cook Honduran food, unfortunately.
Yet.
I'll repeat that. Yet, but maybe Thelma could send me a recipe. Or even dulce de leche. Oh, sorry. Forget the dulce de leche. Okay. Go back to this. I can cook Spanish food, but I can't cook Honduran food. I teach that when it's positive, don't stress the word can't. Stress the verb after it. I can cook.
Right.
But when it's negative, stress the word can't more than the verb. But I can't cook Honduran food.
Except, of course, if there's no verb after it and you want to emphasize can, then you would stress it.
Yeah.
So,
can you swim?
Yes, I can.
Then you have to stress can because there's no verb afterwards. Or if the answer was no, stress can't. No, I can't.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very, very confusing for native speakers if a foreigner gets this wrong, don't we? Because with the wrong stress and also perhaps imperfect pronunciation, we often think the opposite of what you're trying to say. If you want to say, I can cook Spanish food, yo puedo cocinar comida española. But if you mispronounce it, if you say, I can cook Spanish, we think, what? What you puede? No puede? We're not quite clear because you've got the stress wrong.
And one thing I like to teach also is that to identify if somebody's being negative or positive with can, the difference between I can, whether when I can't, I can speak English, I can't speak English, try not to listen for the T sound, la T, because very often native speakers do not pronounce clearly the T at the end of can't. They wouldn't say, I can't speak Spanish. They would say, I can't. So try and focus on the vowel, el sonido vocal. El sonido vocal in the negative, in negativo, es más largo, es calm.
Yes.
Like a car, driving my car. And the sonido vocal in the positive can es más corto and weak.
That's a good tip.
I can speak Spanish. I can speak Japanese. I can cook. Positive. Negative, I can't go. I can't cook. I can't see you. It might help. Because it is difficult to identify if the person's saying can or can't when it's in the middle of the clause. Speaking of contractions, were we? Were we speaking of contractions?
We were. Yes, we were.
Let's quickly revise some of these contractions. Cannot changes to can't. Could not. Couldn't. Might not. Mightn't. I don't say mightn't very much. I mightn't go. I mightn't. That's quite uncommon.
Yes, it's not so common, is it? It's correct, but it's not common.
I will not. Won't.
Aha, that's a tricky one.
Why?
Because the I changes to O, W-O-N apostrophe T.
Of course, mm-hmm. Yeah, W-O-N apostrophe T. Would not, wouldn't, and shall not, shan't, which is more common in British English than American English. I don't think Americans say shan't, do they?
No, and people in Belfast don't either, Craig.
Really?
No.
Really?
If you said shan't in Belfast, people would think you're very posh.
Very posh.
Posh is picho, listeners.
Okay.
It's correct, but in Belfast you'll never hear any local. You'll never hear nunca oyeras tema un morador. A local un morador in Belfast or in Dublin or in Maynooth saying shan't. You won't hear it in Ireland. Although we know it's correct, we just don't say it.
I shan't go to the pub.
Doesn't sound very Irish, does it? In Irish, you say, I shall go to the pub.
Yes, that's right. That's probably why. Must not, obviously, is mustn't. And ought not to, oughtn't to, which is also not very common, but does exist.
Yes. One thing, Craig, we were talking about the contractions.
Yes.
Can I, let's see, listeners, if I can trick Craig.
Ooh.
Yeah. He knows I'm trying to trick him now, so obviously he's not going to fall for the trick.
I'm on my guard.
He's on his guard.
My guard is up.
Craig, you said might, mightn't, could, couldn't. What is the contraction of may not?
Mayn't.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Nah. There is no contraction of may not.
Okay, okay.
Aha, the one which doesn't have a contraction, may not, has no contraction. You have to write the long form.
Remember also, ¿te acuerdas que los verbos modales no tienen el infinitivo?
Except ought to.
Except, well, and have to.
Well, that depends, doesn't it? Some people say, oh, have to isn't the modal. Other people say
exactly,
it is.
Exactly, exactly. I think some grammar books say that ought to and have to are semi-modals. They have some similarities with modal verbs, but they also behave a little differently. For example, they can be changed to the past and the future. I had to, I will have to. So, they're not exactly the same as a full modal verb. But you cannot say to can or to might, which is a common mistake for Spanish speakers, because obviously poder and deber are, it's the infinitive form.
Craig, if you want to make can an infinitive, how do you do it?
I would use to be able to.
Right.
For ability.
That's it. To be able.
To be able to. I am able to swim, for example. After modal verbs, do not use the infinitive with to. So when you have a verb after the modal verb, it's just the verb without to. I must buy some milk. Debo comprar leche. Okay, so I must to buy is wrong. You must not have the infinitive after the modal verb. Another example, we can leave at 7. Podemos marcharnos a las 7. We can leave. Okay, modal verb plus verb without to.
Craig, I've got a question for you and for myself and for any other English teacher out there apart from the listeners.
Hmm?
The negative, cannot.
Yes.
One word or two? I honestly don't know. That's why I accept both.
I would usually write it as one word.
But would you mark it wrong if it was two words?
No.
Can, space, not?
No, no. Uh-huh. And I don't think it is wrong.
Yeah. Mm. But it's the only one where we often put not together with the word without a space. Cannot. C-A-N-N-O-T. You don't do that with other words, do you?
No.
Only cannot.
Not that I can think of. Mm-hmm. And to remind listeners that it's more common, especially in spoken English, to use the contraction. So can't will be more common in spoken and informal English. And cannot, perhaps, in writing, if you're writing a formal letter, a formal email, then you would use the full form of cannot. Finally, los verbos modales no tienen el participio pasado ni el participio presente. So, obviously, you cannot say musting, you cannot say musted. If you want to use must in the past, for obligation, use have to. Any other points on modal verbs before we move on, Reza?
Nope, can't think of any more.
Okay, so in future episodes, we will be focusing more in detail on modal verbs.
They are difficult, we warn you.
Moving on then to Vocabulary Corner. And this episode, I'd like to speak about money. Yes, I know, money. We've spoken about money before.
But money, 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 it makes the world go round.
We love money, which is why we do these podcasts for free.
Obviously, we don't understand money very well, listeners. We're giving you this for free. We're crazy, we're stupid.
But your appreciation and your lovely comments more than pay us for our time, dear listener. So, money. Now, there are some differences in British English and American English with some money words. For example, where does a woman keep her money usually in the UK?
In the UK, we would say a purse.
Right, a purse. And American English speakers also use the word purse, but in the sense of a handbag.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman in the UK would have a handbag, but an American lady would call it her purse. A purse in the UK is a lot smaller, and it's used for money.
So in the UK, a purse and a handbag are different things?
Correct.
Which one's bigger?
A handbag. So handbag. You'd have your purse in your handbag.
Okay.
Where do men keep their money?
In the bank?
In the bank.
No, I'm only joking. as far away from women as possible because they'll spend it. No, I'm joking. We keep our money in our wallets.
That's right, in our wallets. Yeah. Actually, we keep our notes in our wallets. The paper money, billetes, in British English, are notes. Mm-hmm. But in America, they would probably use the word bill. So you'd have a £10 note or a 50 euro note, a 50 pound note, but a $50 bill or a $20 bill, which is confusing because bill in the UK is la cuenta.
Yeah, as well, yeah. Mm. Craig, then, what's the word for the Spanish would be moneda? Una moneda.
A coin, isn't it?
Coin, yeah.
Coins. You have coins in your pocket. 1 euro coin, 2 euro coin.
50 cents, 20 cents. We're talking about euro cents.
Yeah. So the collective noun for the dollar, your pounds, your dollars, yen, euros, currency. It's all foreign currency. And be careful of the pronunciation of foreign because the spelling is a little strange. F-O-R-E-I-G-N, foreign, foreign currency.
Craig, when you're in the UK...
Mm-hmm.
And you're walking down the street and you need some money, where can you find money?
Well, there's that machine that's outside the bank.
Mm-hmm.
A magic machine that gives you money just for putting a piece of plastic or your credit card into the machine. In the UK, what would you call that, Reza?
I would usually call it a cash point.
Mm-hmm.
But very often in colloquial language, people say a hole in the wall. Have you heard that?
The hole in the wall. Yeah, I need some money from the hole in the wall. A cash point or a cash point machine. However, in the States, in USA, it's called an ATM. I think it's an automated telling machine or an automatic telling machine.
I think so.
Something like that. And finally, there's a phrasal verb for when you... remove your money from the bank. Do you know it?
The phrasal verb is take out money.
Take out money. I need to take out money from the bank. You can also say draw out money or withdraw. The verb to withdraw money from the bank. And the noun is withdrawal. And the collocation to make So if you go into the bank, excuse me, good morning, I'd like to make a withdrawal. I'd like to withdraw some money from my account.
Of all the verbs you said there with the same meaning, to take out, to draw out, and to withdraw, which one is the most formal?
Withdraw.
Withdraw, right? Because generally speaking, if you have phrasal verb and a verb which is not a phrasal verb with the same meaning, usually the phrasal verb is more informal, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, I would possibly say take out money, but more likely I would say get some money out. I need to get some money out of the bank.
Me too. I would say that.
Yeah, I need to get some money out.
Craig, you mentioned credit cards. There's another type of card, which is a debit card. Slightly different.
What is the difference? Explain it to our listeners, Rosa.
Well, I'm no banker, but... Well... that's debatable. I'm no banker, but... Well, credit can mean that you spend money that you don't necessarily have. You may be spending the bank's money, although, of course, you'll have to pay them back later. With a debit card, that is not the case. You have to have the money in your bank account. It's not credit. If you don't have it, you can't spend it. That is debit, and you can have a debit card. As far as I know, that's the difference. Listeners, just to show you what a careful fellow I am, I got my first ever credit card this year.
Really? You've never had one before?
Never before in my life, because I didn't want one. Listeners, if you've seen a picture of me, this is hard to believe, but I'm 43 years old.
No, you're kidding me.
I know. That you picture don't? On internet, he's 43. And I got my first credit card when I was 43.
That's old, man.
Yeah, that's old. Yeah. No credit card till now. I didn't want one. And I only got one because the bank insisted I had to take it. So I took it. But I prefer debit cards.
So if you buy anything online, if you buy something on the internet, you'd probably use your debit card.
No, I have a credit card now, but I just won't use it. I prefer debit. I don't like spending money I haven't got.
That's very wise.
So listeners, don't blame me at all for the world economic crisis. It wasn't me. I never had a credit card. I never spent anything I didn't have.
There was another word that occurred to me that could be interesting. Oh yeah, there's some word that listeners may not know that will be useful if they travel to the States or to the UK. Cashback. Do you have cashbacks in Belfast?
Yep,
in
sure.
The supermarket?
Yep. It doesn't exist in Spain, does it?
It doesn't. No. You can't have cashbacks in a Spanish supermarket. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what a cashback is?
Well, as far as I know, cashback means that when you buy something, for example, in a supermarket, you're buying your shopping, when you go to pay with a credit card or debit card, the cashier, that's the person who is taking your money, will say, do you want some cash back? That means, do you want to take out some money as if we were a bank? But they're not a bank, they're a supermarket. But of course, the money will be deducted from your bank account.
So if, for example, your shopping came to £45 and you say, I'll have a £55 cash back, you pay for your shopping, give them your debit card, the supermarket would give you £55 in cash and your bank would charge you £100 for the shopping and the cash together.
That's correct.
And also, I was in America a couple of years ago, and they offered me cash back in an American store as well, on my credit card.
Yeah. I think the rule is you can only do it when you're buying something.
Yes.
Isn't that right? You can't just go into the shop and say, give me cash back, as if it were a bank. You have to buy something from them.
It's a special arrangement, un arreglo, that the supermarket or shop has with the bank.
Listeners, we'd be interested to know if there's cash back in other Latin American countries. I'm not sure if there is. Can you let us know? We're curious.
Drop us a line. Send us a message on inglespodcast.com and tell us if you have cashbacks in your country. Moving on to phrasal verbs. Reza, this episode, should we play Guess the Phrasal Verbs and have some general revision?
Okay.
So to have a good relationship with someone. How would you, what phrase or verb would you use for that?
Llevarse bien con alguien.
Llevarse bien. To get on with someone. To get on with someone. To have a good relationship with them. I get on with my boss. To reduce the quantity of, for example, to smoke fewer cigarettes or drink less beer.
To cut down.
To cut down on.
On something, yeah.
Yeah, to cut down on. I've cut down on smoking. I've cut down on biscuits. What about to see someone socially or romantically on a regular basis?
To go out with someone.
Yeah, to go out with someone.
Although, Craig, that can also mean just to go out with anybody. For example, where are you going tonight? I'm going out with my friends. That can also be go out, can't it?
Yes, but if I said I'm going out with a girl from my bank.
Yeah. You're just after her money.
I'm after her cash back, yeah. To tolerate. Tolerar?
Oh, what's that name? Oh, right. To put up with someone or something.
You may hear that really annoying sound in the background. The neighbor's alarm, I think, is going off. You can hear the alarm. So we're having to put up with a noise in the background. What about to finish? To have no more of something. For example, now we've finished, we have no more phrasal verbs.
We've run out of phrasal verbs.
We've run out of phrasal verbs. Although you'll be happy to hear that we haven't run out of milk. So I'm going to put the kettle on and make us a nice cup of tea because we've reached the end of this episode.
Ah. All good things come to an end.
Do you fancy a cup of tea and a couple of biscuits?
I'd love a cup.
Okay, so we're off to have a cup of tea. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you in the next podcast. Remember, please, if you want to get in touch, send us an email or a sound file. Un mensaje de voz en MP3. Send us a comment, send us a question, say hello, and send your messages and MP3s to Craig at inglespodcast.com or belfastreza@gmail.com. Y también puedes darnos estrellas y una pequeña reseña en iTunes. Dinos lo que pensáis de este podcast. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later, licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.
However, listeners, we've no idea what the really annoying music in the background is.
We don't know.
From the neighbour's alarm clock.
Do you think I should go and knock on the door?
I think so.
Yeah.